Good evening, everybody. In this week's parsha, we talk a lot about the halachos of a bris milah. So I thought this was an appropriate time just to talk about one aspect of bris milah. We can't go through so many halachos, but to focus on the halachos of the sandik. Where does this idea of the sandik come from? And what are the special minhagim and significance of the sandik? So first of all, the Medrash Rabbah writes that when Avraham Avinu did the bris milah on himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, b'chvodo v'atzmo, served as the sandik for Avraham Avinu. So therefore, based on this, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramban, Siman Reish Samach Dalet Sif Aleph, writes that it's an important idea for the father of the child to look carefully and really search after someone who's yafeh v'hagun, someone who's a tzaddik, to be the sandik for his child, because you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself served as the sandik for Avraham Avinu. In Shulchan Aruch Yeredeya, in Siman Reish Samach Hei, the very next Siman, we're told, Nogin lahader acher mitzvah zu, says the Rama, the minig is for an individual. First we said that the father should go and look for a big tzaddik, but then the Rama tells us that every individual person on his own should try very hard to get the schus of being a tzaddik at a bris, litvos hatinok lemalo, v'yafek koach hasandik mikoach hamoel, says the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama, that the tzaddik is considered a more integral part of the Mila than the Maal himself, and therefore when it comes time for Kriyas HaTorah and you're supposed to give the Sandik, the Maal, and the Aviyah Ben and Aliyah, if there aren't enough Aliyahs, then you have to give the Sandik as opposed to giving the Mohel. Says the Rama, why is the Sandik such an important part of the Bris Mila? He says he's considered like the Mizbeach that were Maktir Ketorah son. That's what the Rama says, and we'll see in a couple of minutes exactly what the significance of that is. Interesting to note that the Ma'aril writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mila, Ma'aril was from the B'nai Ashkenaz. He was where a lot of the Minhagim of Ashkenaz come from. So the Ma'aril points out that every time he was asked to be a Sandik, he would go to the mikveh, he would prepare himself very carefully because he considered the schus of being a Sandik to be a tremendous schus. That's why many Acharonim write, what does the Ramah mean over here that Yehader, I should try to be a Sandik? What do you mean? If they're not mechabed me, if they don't ask me, what am I supposed to do? So many of the Acharonim write that a person should go out of his way and pay money to the Baal HaBris, to the father of the child, and ask him that he please offer the sandikos to him, that he should have the schus in his life. So my father likes to say over that the first time he was a sandik, so someone came over at the meal, at the bris, and told him that, you know, the minig was in Europe that people used to pay for the schus. And what does it mean to pay for the schus? They used to pay for the meal. So he said to my father, you know, this is the cost. And my father, I didn't sign up for that. I wasn't aware. So this happens to be, in fact, in Europe, this was the minig, that many people who wanted to have the schus of being the sandik at some point in their lives used to make an agreement with the Avi HaBen that they were going to pay for the meal for the bris. We already find such a concept, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Kuf Pei Dalid, that there is such a concept that a person should try very hard to get an aliyah on the Yom Naroim, and says the Mishnah Berurah, even if it's going to cost you money, a person should go ahead and pay money for the aliyah, because it's something that's a davar chashuv. And when we have a mitzvah like that, a person should try even to go at the expense of a lot of money. That's why the Chafetz Chaim writes on Chumash, this is why Avraham Avinu, although he was offered Ma'aris HaMachpelah for free, although Avraham Avinu was offered a great deal, Avraham Avinu says, no, I'm going to pay an exorbitant amount of money to go ahead and bury Sarah. Why? Because it was the mitzvah of Kvura that was in front of him, and he felt that the same way we find by all these other mitzvahs, that a person should go ahead and spend a lot of money in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah, so too over here, he wanted to spend a lot of his own money to bury properly his wife, to bury Sarah in the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Whether or not a person is allowed to use Meiser money for these things, okay, so the big discussion in Yeredeya and the Shach and the Ramah, they talk about it in Siman Reish Mem Tes, okay, it's not for now. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes in his Hasagas to Yeredeya, there in Hilchas Milah, he points out that since the Ramah says that the person who is the Sandik is as if he's the Mizbeach, it's like we're Makter Ketoras on him, therefore says the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, quoting other Achronim, the minig is that the sandik should drink from the cup of wine that we make the bracha on by the bris. Why? Because that's like the nesachim. Since the sandik has a din like a mizbeach, and every time we offer a carbon, we always offer a nesachim with the carbon. Therefore, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger b'shem, some earlier achronim, we should have the practice that the sandik should go ahead and make sure that he drinks some of the wine in order to be like a mizbeach that takes the nesachim after the carbon. The Ramah writes in Yeredeya and Reish Samach Aleph, Sifyud Aleph, another interesting din, that since the sandik is considered like a mizbeach, and it's as if we're being mocked to the ketoras on the mizbeach, says the Ramah, quoting Rabbeinu Peretz, that therefore, ein litein shnei banav l'sandik echad. Says the Ramah, the minig is that you're not supposed to give the kibud of sandikos to one person for more than one of my children. Meaning what? I have two sons. So Hashem mechabed different people each time to be the tzaddik on the bris milah. Why? So that's based on what Chazal tell us in Yuma daf chav vav and aleph. The Gemara tells us in Yuma that since the Ketores, whoever had the schus to do the mitzvah of Ketores, the Gemara says he had a big skula that he became rich, he had a skula of Ashirus, so therefore says the Gemara that every single day they would get up and make a big lottery, that any Kohen who never had the chance, Chadashim l'Ketores ba'u v'hafisu, whoever never had the chance to actually go ahead and be mocked to the Ketores, should come and put his name into the lottery, so therefore says the Gemara that they only used to put into this lot people who never had the chance to do it before in their lives. But somebody who once won the lottery and had the chance to do the Ketores, they didn't used to let him do it again. Why? Because since offering the Ketores is a skula for Ashiros, so it's not fair to give it to the same person twice. Why not spread the wealth and let a lot of people have this special skula? So that's what the Gemara says, and based on that the Ramah says that we have the practice that when one is mechabed a sandik at a bris, he should not be mechabed the same person twice, because it's like being mocked to the Ketores, and it's a skula for Ashiros to be the sandik. So therefore, we should go ahead and give it to different people. I find this similar, just a little bit different, but a similar Gemara. It's very Nogeh Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara in Erevin. That's why I want to digress for a minute. Just before we get there, it's interesting, the Chassam Sofer has a whole tshuva where he talks about different issues in Sandakos. We'll see in a minute. But the Chassam Sofer points out, what do you mean it's a skula for Ashiros? Don't we know B'nei, Chayi, and Mazoni are the three things that are tully in a person's mazel, and they're not tully on a person's chusim? So what does it mean? If b'nei chayei mazoni, children, chayei is my livelihood, and mazoni is my food, if those three things are tali on mazel, so what does it mean? I'm going to have a schus if I go ahead and I'm makta the Ketores to become rich. Or I'm going to have a schus if I go ahead and I'm a son to get a bris to become rich. What do you mean? It's all determined, it's predestined, it's in my mazel. So some sofer points out that Tosfos says in Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav, an interesting idea, that yes, you're right, that b'nei chayei mazoni are based on my mazel, but Tosfos tells us that if I have a schus gadol, if I have something which is completely out of this world, a tremendous schus for me, then that's even able to change, to alter my mazel. That's what Tosfos says. So Sam Sofer says over here, it must be that being a son to get a bris is not stam a schus, it's a tremendous schus, and that's why we assume that being a son to get a bris is going to give a person a skula for Ashiras, because it's not stam a schus, it's like Tosfos says in Shabbos, a very big schus. So along the same lines, the Gemara says in Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel, Amar Ababa Bar Zabda, Kolanosim Matanosov L'Kohen Echad. Someone who chooses to always give his Truma, his Meiser, all of his Matnas Kuhuna, or Matnas Leviya, Matnas Ani, he always chooses to give it to the same coin. Says the Gemara, Mevi Ra'av La'olam. A person who chooses always to give the Truma or the Chala to the same coin, that's going to be Mevi Ra'av La'olam. It's going to bring hunger into the world. Now, it's not clear exactly what's the Midi Kenegan Mida, okay, not for now, but basically in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Tzedakah, in Siman Reish Nun Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch learns from that Gemara that when a person is giving out tzedakah, he shouldn't give it to one ani. He should spread the wealth and give it to many different people. Why are you only focusing on one ani? There are many people who are starving, many people who have many needs, and therefore we shouldn't specifically give it to one ani. We should spread the wealth and give it out to many different people. Rav Moshe writes in two different tshuvas, I'm putting together two different things, but Rav Moshe writes one thing, that from the Gemara you see that even if the person who's not able to afford living, even the ani who's very destitute, is very poor, and he's my tzedakah, even if he's my relative, still says Rav Moshe, I'm not allowed to give him all the tzedakah. I have to give him a significant amount. I have to give him a certain percentage, but then I have to diversify. I have to give to other people as well. And there's no heter just because he's a karv. In another tshuva, Rav Moshe writes that even if he's the god of Adar, still, I'm not allowed to give him all my tzedakah. I'm not allowed to give his institution all the money. I have to spread it around to everybody. You know, they come around very often and they say, well, it's a chasana for, you know, this big tzaddik's granddaughter, this big tzaddik's grandson. It's a very nice thing for us to help them out, but l'maisa, we shouldn't spend all of our tzedakah money or give so much to that. We should really diversify. That's what Rav Moshe says in the tshuva. Doesn't matter how great a tzaddik it is, doesn't matter how great a gadol hador he is, bottom line, we have to diversify the tzedakah and spread it as much as we can based on that Gemara in Erevin. So this is the same idea that Ramah has over here, that based on the Gemara in Yuma, we don't give this chus of Ketores to one person to do it twice, because it's a skula for Ashiras, and we want to spread the wealth. So do we have by the sandik that it's not proper to give one person sandikos to two children in a row, because we want to spread the wealth. Yeah?
So if someone already got sandik, shouldn't you tell them I already
want sandik? Oh, so we're going to get to that. So the Shalom Eshiv writes in his Hasagas to Yerideya, he says, first of all, just before you get to that point, he says, the Pasuk says in Chumash, in Parshas Vayechi, Gam b'nei Menachir ben Menashe yaldu al birke Yosef. So it doesn't mean they were born al birke Yosef, So the simple understanding, the Pashup Shad, is that they were born under the auspices of Yosef. Yosef was the gadol of the family, of his grandchildren, and they were born while Yosef HaTzadik was still alive. But the Targum over there says something interesting. I'm not going to say it in Aramaic, but the Targum says over there that the Pshat in the Pasuk means that Yosef was the Tzadik for the children of Menashe. So the Achronim point out, what do you mean? How is Yosef able to serve as the Tzadik for more than one of the children of Menashe? The halacha is you only give the Schus of Tzadikos to a person once. You don't give it more than once. So that's the kasha that they ask. Rabbi Yashav and his Ha'aras on Yuma also points out an interesting idea that we find the 7 days leading up to Yom Kippur. We know that there used to be mafresh the Kohen Gadol. They used to set him aside and get him ready for the avodah on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara tells us that during that 7 day period, the Kohen Gadol was like the man of the hour, and every day he would specifically bring the Ketores. He was the one who had the schus to bring the Ketores because he was the man. So that's what the Gemara says. So says the Rama, if that's in fact the case, so you see that when it's my mitzvah, when I'm the man, so then I don't have to split it with everyone else. That's what the Gemara says in Yuma. When it's 7 days before Yom Kippur and the Kohen Gadol is the man of the hour, we don't give the Torah's the schus to everybody else. We give it to the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, ask Rabbi Yashav, I don't understand. Why does the Rama say over here that I'm not allowed to spread around the, I'm not allowed to give the schus of Sandikos to a person more than once? What do you mean? The Aviyah Ben is the man of the hour. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. He can do whatever he wants. So what does the Rama mean? He should be exactly parallel to the Gemara in Yuma, where the Kohen Gadol is like the father of the Aviyah Ben. That's the question that Rabbi Yashav points out in his Ha'aras on Yuma, an interesting point that we'll get back to in a second. So the Nadi Behuda points out in his tshuvas, he has a long tshuva where he's very upset about this Rama, he doesn't understand it, and basically he says, I don't quite understand, why is it that we have the minig in many communities that the Rav of the town gets sandikos? That's what you were asking. Why is it that the Rav takes sandikos? The minig is, the Rama says, he shouldn't take it. The minig is that we spread it out. So first of all, the Chazon Ish writes in one of his svarim that if they come and they ask you if you want to be the sandik, you don't have to say anything. You can take the schus. It's not right for the person to give it twice to a person who he knows already had. But if I'm receiving it, I don't have to say anything. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. But we know that the minig is in many communities, they give it to the Rav or to the big tzaddik. So why is it that in fact we are not careful about this Rama? So the Chasam Sofer explains that the reason why is because the Gemara tells us that although the 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was the only one who used to be mocked to the Ketores, but in fact the rest of the year, if the Kohen Gadol wanted to be mocked to the Ketores, any day, he just popped into the Beis HaMikdash and says, you know what, I want to have the schus of doing the Ketores today. So the Gemara tells us he comes before everyone else. Kohen Gadol, every day of the year, has the right to do the Ketores above and beyond the right that any other Kohen has. And even though he's done it before, even though he's done it many times, still there's a special cover that we give to the Kohen Gadol. He's allowed to do it as many times as he wants. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's in fact the reason why the Tzaddik, the Talmud Chacham in the city, who takes on the coast each and every time, he has a din like the Kohen Gadol. And therefore we assume that although the minhag is you're not supposed to give it to someone more than once, but if he's the Tzaddik, if he's the Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to give it to him more than once. My father pointed out that along the lines of the Chasam Sofer, we have the right to assume also that a grandfather, let's say, or a father, let's say a grandfather. So you have a grandfather who, you know, is a survivor, and it's a big schus that he's here, and we want him to be at the bris, and we want to give him sandikos. So why should our second son be cheated, and we don't want him to have the schus of having such a gevaldik achash of a sandik? Of course we want it. So you're going to say that because the Rama says we don't give sandikos twice, we're going to cheat the second kid? So my father thought, no, if you have a situation like that, a grandfather, or even not such a chash of a grandfather, but he's the grandfather and we want to be mechabed him. So you're allowed to give it to him more than once. He's also like a Kohen Gadol, that he has more shaychus to the simcha than everyone else. That's a little bit what the Reisha Rav writes on Chumash. But my father thought this was halacha l'maaseh, so that was permissible for a family to give the grandfather the kibbut of sandikos more than once. That would be something that we would be allowed to do. So the question begs itself, if in fact the schus of sandikos is considered a skula for ashiras, well, we know many great Talmidei Chachamim who have been sandik many, many times in their lives, and in fact they're still just as poor as they were when they started. So what's the story? How come there's no skula for ashiras? It doesn't seem to be working. What's going on here? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes in the Derech Sicha, I saw this recently, an interesting idea. He says he once asked this to the Chazon Ish, and he said the Chazon Ish said, no, it doesn't mean ashiras wealth. It means ashiras what the Talmud Chacham wants. Talmud Chacham is going to become a greater Talmud Chacham. He's going to have Ashiris in his Chachma, in his Sfarim. He's going to be able to write more. He's going to be able to learn more. That's his Ashiris. He's going to give better Shiurim. That's what it is. What does the Talmud Chacham care for money? Many Talmud Chacham do care for money, but the Chazon Ish couldn't imagine such a thing. So he says the school for Ashiris, when you have a Tzaddik who acts as a Tzaddik, doesn't mean Ashiris monetarily. It means Ashiris in what he wants Ashiris to be. Okay, it's an interesting idea. But others explain that maybe the reason why we don't find people having the skula for Ashiras, and with this we'll close, is like Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Kiva Eger points out, when he talks about the halachas of being a sandik, he says he doesn't think it's proper that the sandik only serves as a sandik when he sits down while they're doing the actual milah, while they're doing the cutting. He thinks that it's not proper to stop there. The sandik should continue to be the sandik mu'umad as well. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger writes in Shulchan Aruch. Nowadays, we try to make up kibudim and we say sandik mu'umad and miyad, miyad. We give it to one person, to another person, everyone's passing around. So we make a lot of kibudim because we want to make people happy. But Rabbi Kiva Eger says the real proper minig is that the sandik who serves as the sandik during the incision should also serve as the sandik during the brachos and during the kriyas Hashem. So maybe that's also a reason why the sandik nowadays doesn't really have the skula for Ashiras, because he always stops in the middle. He doesn't finish off the job. We consider him the sandik for the incision, for the milah itself, for the cutting. But then when they get up to the brachos and to the kriyas Hashem, all of a sudden he gives it off to someone else. So maybe perhaps that's why he doesn't have the regular skula for Ashiras that the Rama talks about over here, because he's not in fact finishing off the mitzvah as he is supposed to. I wish everyone a wonderful evening.